الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Beyond the Minbar, a podcast where we discuss relevant topics to our viewers. And we have usually an informative but informal discussion with people of knowledge and imams and people from the GLM staff. Alhamdulillah, today I am joined with Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan and Salim Ahmed from GLM staff member as a center manager, F1. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are we doing on this?
We're doing great, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So today's topic of discussion is about a statement that was given, quoted by British Vogue magazine, I believe, from a sister called Malala. Now, just a brief background on the sister. She's a young Pakistani activist for female education and the youngest Nobel Prize winner at the age of only 17, mashallah. She's known for human rights advocacy, especially the education of women and children in her native Swat Valley, Pakistan. So what she was quoted to have said is what we're going to be discussing, inshallah, and not necessarily her as a person, but like more the statement and the kind of the ideology behind kind of this statement, inshallah. So I'm just going to read out what she said and then we'll open up the discussion. Is that okay?
Yeah,
that's fine, inshallah. Good. Yeah.
So she goes on, she says, and she's quoted to have said, thinking about relationships, you know, on social media, everyone sharing their relationship stories, you get worried if you can trust someone or not. And how can you be sure? She said, I still don't understand why people have to get married. If you want to have a person in your life, why do you have to sign marriage papers? Why can't it just be a partnership? She said. So having heard that quote, my first question, inshallah, today is, if we take a look at modern society, right, would it be right in saying that more and more people would rather not be married than be married? You know.
Yeah. So I don't know whether it might be a generalization to say that more people would rather not be married, unless, you know, you've conducted surveys, which they may exist, or spoken to a sample of people. But what, from my experience and what I see in the community and see with people coming to the masjid or what you see on social media, is there's definitely an increase in the number of people who don't consider marriage to be an option or who would rather not be in marriage. So there's an increase of that. You do see that a visible, noticeable increase, not just in the UK and in our local community, but also worldwide as well. I think it's become more acceptable to not be married.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Sheikh?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the world we live in nowadays, it does. Glorify short relationships, right? So you want to be with someone, you go date and you do that and that's it. I mean, marriage is an institution that a lot of the younger generation might think is outdated, or they might think that it's not for them because of how much responsibility it carries. It is a commitment and people don't want to commit. More people are becoming perhaps less religious. Even as Muslims, more people become less practicing, and they're thinking, okay, so why even bother to get married?
But is it correct in saying that more people?
I mean, I would say that if worldwide, I mean, there are some studies that claim that people that are marrying each other is becoming less and less and less.
So less people are getting married.
Less people are getting married, therefore, and it's part of a wider problem.
More people getting divorced.
And more people getting divorced, and does that maybe leave a bad taste? You know, someone has a divorce, do they get? So it is. It seems to be less people are getting married. Yeah.
We were saying earlier, before we were shooting about the podcast about the how marriage is linked to religion.
Yeah.
And how every religion, you know, has, you know, a marriage ceremony.
Yeah.
And because people moving away from religion,
no.
You know, so they're moving away from religious traditions,
yeah.
such as
marriage. No, absolutely. It's, I mean, think about it. Even Christians get married in a church. There's a priest. There's a ceremony. It's and so if someone and you have the same thing with the Jewish people, you have the same thing with a lot of other, most marriages happen in some sort of religious setting. As Muslims, of course, our nikah is an act of worship, right? So I actually had a conversation with someone that was very far away from practicing. And he was like, well, I'm just going to cohabitate. What's the point of an Islamic nikah? I mean, we're together anyway. And so it shows you that the more people become less religious, the more they feel like, what's the point of getting married? But I think it's even more than that, because it's not just religiosity. I think it's also people generally have become more selfish. Now, okay, that's maybe not everyone, but it's a bit harsh. What I mean is, look, marriage is a responsibility. Literally, you're saying, okay, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to, as a man, I'm going to commit myself to this person. As a woman leaves her home to commit herself to this one person, right? It's a commitment. And then with that comes responsibilities and, of course, certain rights as well. So it's, and then families get involved. Of course, it's an economic investment as well, right? Who knows how much marriages cost nowadays, right? So all of that, if you're going to do it, you have to consider it to be an important thing to begin with.
Sorry to interrupt you. So what about this? Is marriage what costs more or the wedding? Because sometimes...
That's actually a good point.
Because I feel that, yeah, that's a valid point, but I believe it's the wedding part that perhaps maybe costing and stopping people from getting married. You know, some people put off marriage, and this is people from different faith backgrounds as well, that, you know, they'll have a 3-5 year engagement just saving up.
And it means so much to people to have those big weddings. I mean, I was studying when I was doing my master's. I had a Saudi friend who was studying with us. And when I asked him, look, when are you planning to get married? He was really depressed about it. And he says, look, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen for a very long time. He says, because the cost of the wedding, the mahar, everything, you know, I have to have a certain profession and be at a certain level before anybody would even consider me. And, you know, I think at that time he was approaching his 30s. And, you know, he was in a difficult situation. Doesn't mean that's everybody, but that's one example where, you know, and I see it in this country as well, where people will put off marriage for years because they're not ready to have the big wedding yet.
So okay, so without diving yet into totally the religiosity aspect of it, so how can we say that it can seem more appealing to be in a relationship than getting married, you know, judging from what we're saying right now, including what you said about the wedding costing so much, because it sounds relatively easy to be not to be married. It sounds easier to just, you know,
be in a relationship. Okay, I think it depends on how you're looking at it. Okay, so if we're talking about from an Islamic perspective, okay. So of course, so generally, because then we don't have relationships, you only have marriage, right?
Yeah.
Or else it's a big problem. But generally speaking, but generally speaking, why would people want to be in a relationship? I think it's all of the aforementioned reasons, right? They don't want to invest all of this money into it, and they perhaps want an easy exit strategy. You know, marriage is an institution, but so is divorce. So it's such a big commitment, right? So people perhaps are put off by it, as well as this new trend of Tinder and all these apps and people just meeting and that's it. And they're maybe having multiple partners at one time, so at different occasions. So it's a big problem. And why commit myself? What do I get out of it? Again, people are saying in a relationship, I'm not committed. Families haven't gotten involved. I haven't made a pledge or a promise. I haven't put a lot of money down. So I'm not committed to this person. I can easily leave. And that is appealing to some people. So that's one thing. And I think people tend to follow whatever society is doing or whatever is trendy. And if we go on a time machine, we went back, I don't know, 50 years, everyone's getting married. And by the age of, you know, getting married and having a family was something you strive towards.
Yeah, I mean, 50 years ago in this country, or less than that, it's a norm, you know. It's a norm for there to be a mother, father, children. You had a family structure, society. It was the cultural norm. Now it's not the cultural norm anymore.
Right, okay, so what about this then? Would we say, or can we deduce from this that technological advancements, having, you know, accessibility to be with anyone you want at any time, you know, and because we've become a generation, as my when my daughter was born, my mother said, this is the .com generation. You know, because everything is at a click
Of
a finger or a swipe of a button.
Yeah.
We've become impatient, right, to the point where we don't really want everything now, and we can't, and whatever it is that I want, I want to know how fast I can get it,
mm-hmm.
and how easy it is to get, you know. And
so it's all for convenience. Exactly. It's all for, and even when people create apps or they create websites, it's about how do you make the user journey as simple as possible? How do you make it as good, you know, within the shortest space of time, really impacting the person? Now, whether that's through an app, where a dating app, etc., or social media platforms, it's putting things in front of people that's going to attract them in the shortest space of time, and whilst making it convenient for that person. So, you know, people will be attracted by, you know, dating apps. They'll be attracted by, it's whatever's convenient for them. And marriage perhaps isn't convenient. You know, the commitments behind it all, the stresses of having to convince family about it, etc., the costs, the responsibility. It doesn't fit in with that sort of convenient lifestyle where everything's fast-paced and just easy. You know, it's a bit more hard work.
Do people want marriage?
I mean, look, they should, and I think there's still a large number of people that do.
The reason I say that is just because of what she said about you see people's relationships on social media. You know, everyone seems happy, you know, and the actual people being in a relationship for so long, you know, who on social media, their kind of milestone of their relationship reaching the highest pinnacle is kind of, oh, they got married.
But you know what? You know, she said, why marriage? Why do I need to be married?
No, she said,
why do you have to sign papers? Yeah. Why can't you be in a partnership? Why do you have to be in a partnership? Why can't you be in marriage?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
why can't you be in a marriage? Because you're just making a promise. You're making an agreement that you're going to live together as a married couple.
Yeah.
Why not do that? You know, what is so wrong with marriage?
In fact, I mean, everything is right with marriage, right? It's the other one. It's these partnerships that are very problematic because, look, earlier you mentioned all these apps and things have been made convenient, right? Human relationships are complex and they shouldn't be turned into something that's convenient, especially, being with someone, right? A woman committing herself to another man, or a man committing himself to a woman. This shouldn't be relegated to something that we see as just, okay, so I'm just gonna to fulfill my desires and move on. It's bigger than that. I mean, this person is someone's daughter, someone's it's a whole person. And you know how many people suffer from mental health issues because of broken relationships, false promises, infidelity, and these things cause problems. What marriage does, it limits you. And by nature, we tend to transgress on each other. And it is these rules. People, I mean, why do we have to sign papers? That's another thing. Why are there so many rules? Right? If there needs to be witnesses, there needs to be a contract, there are rights and responsibilities. Why all these rules? Why can't we just get straight to the point? The problem is that when you do that, there are no consequences and no accountability.
Yeah.
Right? There are no consequences and no accountability. Here, there are consequences, there is accountability because you're dealing with people. And in the end of the day, this person that you want to spend one night with, or 1 week with, or 1 month, and then move on, this is not healthy for you, it's not healthy for them. And this is why, there's almost like we are, as a ummah, as a people, we're regressing. And the more we act like this, the more we act like animals. Like, animals don't sign papers.
You made a good point, Sheikh, when you said, you know, we're relegating the sanctity of marriage down to the level of, you know, for example, when people are buying cars and buying and selling cars on an app, when you're thinking about buying and selling cars, it's like all those, you know, minor things, parts of life, you know, marriage has become part of that. It's part of that package of, you know, let's say, for example, you want to change the decoration in your house, you go on the app, you find the latest thing, you can even sort of like design the home of what you want it to look like, and then purchase those materials, and then you got it sorted.
But even then, with these things, for example, if you want to take out a mobile phone contract, you'll still subject to a contract. You need to sign something, you know.
I don't think it was the act of the actual signing. Yeah. I think what you said about there's more behind the signing.
The fact that there are expectations, rules, responsibilities, etc. It's very interesting. But you know what it is, though? Marriage is something that every young man, I mean, it might be changing now, and I hope it doesn't, is they look forward. Most people, when you tell them, what's the best day of your life? Often they will say, the day I got married, right? The day I got married. So it still carries that weight. But I guess there is now this messaging to go against it. You know what? Forget all of that. We don't need to get married. You don't need to commit yourself to a partner and actually have a marriage contract. All of this is kind of being pushed back against. And my question is, in favor of what? Yeah, what's the alternative? The alternative is just promiscuity and do whatever you want and have less responsibility. And actually, I want more responsible people out there. I was reading an interesting article. It said that a married man is less likely to commit crimes. Like, a married man is less likely to commit crimes than a single person. Why? Because when you're married, you have more to live for. Yeah. You're thinking about more. You're more responsible, right? Yeah. So why, if through marriage we're getting more responsible people, and we're getting more stable communities, then why would we do away with that?
So you mentioned, Sheikh, you just said, you know, what's the alternative, and that this is being pushed. Like, I would, you know, question, why is Malala being used, or why is this her position being used to try and promote it? this idea that, you know, perhaps you don't need to be married. You know, without getting into the details of her as a personality, but if you think about, you know, what is her, you know, she's an activist for women's education, which is good. And Islam promotes women being educated. What is the purpose behind her saying it? You know, do you think there's an agenda there? Do you think there's an agenda against marriage? Or was she just giving her her views of her personal views? Or do you think it's for her to influence society? Does she see herself as an influencer? Because when I looked at that, I thought, okay, she's been put in a position as an influencer. She's not widely accepted. Many of her views aren't widely accepted. Some of them are. Is it a deliberate attempt to sort of like push against marriage?
I mean, one thing that we cannot deny is that there is a push for this, right? I mean, if you just, you find so many articles on, is marriage outdated? Do we need marriage anymore, right? Cohabitation is better, right? Why, this is it's outdated and et cetera, et cetera. So this message was being pushed, and whether this is just her individual opinion that she's sharing, or there is more to it, I mean, it could be either or, but the fact of the matter is that this is an idea that is prevalent, that many young people are now being introduced to or are thinking about it. You know what? Perhaps I don't even need to get married. But then with that comes, okay, so now people are saying, I don't need to have children. I mean, that's another one. Exactly. And it's all about, I think the root cause of this is more people are becoming more worried about themselves. Because think about it, when you're raising children, it takes a lot out of you, right? It takes a lot out of you. A marriage takes a lot out of you, but that's a good thing. We're not living just for ourselves, right? Amass as much wealth as you can and die alone, right? Or be with a partner for a specific amount of time and then go and then be with another one and go and be with another one. You won't. As human beings, we require companionship. Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa for him, right? Because we require companionship. And it's very healthy. So I think it's something that's definitely being pushed, and this is why we're having this conversation.
Who does it benefit, Sheikh? You know, to live that life where you're just amassing wealth, you die alone, who does that benefit? Does it benefit a capitalistic society? Is it about the type of society we live in? Materialistic, you know, capitalistic society, or is it?
No. I mean, definitely. There is so much that can be said about that. Part of it is, for example, when less people are married, they have what? Less. There's less children being born, right? There's less people, right? So I mean, when you're just one individual, you're living in a consumer world. your whole life is about just consumption, right? Entertainment after the entertainment, and you know, that's all you live for. We want people that live for more than just themselves, right? We want them to live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want them to live to service others, right? To be more than, and distinguish yourself from all the other creation that Allah didn't give aql, right? Allah didn't give an intellect. And I think it's a big problem that people are okay with relegating themselves to such a position where, I'm just going to live for myself. Yeah. It's a big problem.
Now that we've spoke about relationships and marriage and her statement, from our perspective as Muslims, right, it's the Islamic perspective. What does marriage in Islam mean? Yeah, and what does it entail? Marriage in Islam.
SubhanAllah, you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the concept of zawaj or nikah a lot in the Quran, and. If you start with the beginning of our story, Adam alayhi salam, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates Hawa, and Allah mentions why. لِيَسْكُونَ إِلَيْهَا, so that he may find tranquility and happiness and from her. So, and this is why when the scholars discuss even the name of a human being in Arabic is insan, and one of the meanings they extract from that is that يَأْنَسُ بَعْضَهُ بَعْضًا, we require each other's company. It's very difficult for someone to be just by themselves. They need partners, right? And this is where Adam and Hawa, and you see that the ideal family consisting from a wife and a husband there already, right? And so then we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising marriage in the Quran and telling us that the greatest of men, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophets, that they had wives and children. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً, they had wives and children. So the best of Allah's creation were family men, and they had wives and children. And it goes further than that, and then you'll find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually commanding us to get married, right? وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَصَالِحِينَ in Surah An-Nur. So marry the young ones among you, Allah says in the Quran, right? And if they're worried about poverty or that they can't, then Allah will say, I will provide for them. So it's an encouragement to get married. There are so many ayats that talk about it. When Allah was talking about his signs to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you look into the world and you know this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are all signs, that the night and the day, the sun and the moons and everything. And among his signs is that Allah created you partners. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions why, so that you can find sakina, tranquility. And Allah has put between you love and mercy, right? So these are perhaps not the tangible stuff, but that our Creator knows what we need. And Allah is telling us, you need marriage to find tranquility, happiness, and love and mercy. And one interesting thing I've seen is, this is a few friends of mine, they, Qadar Allah, they went through a divorce, but then they got remarried quite quickly. And I asked them why. He said, once you get married, you understand that it's weird to just be by yourself and be alone, right? So it shows you that it goes with our fitrah.
So at the same time, someone may argue that you can get that from relationships.
And I was just about to comment that I've seen some people use the ayat about partners creating you as pairs, yeah, to justify, imagine justifying relationships, because it doesn't specifically, obviously there's other ayat that talk about marriage, but there's a lot of people who perhaps aren't knowledgeable, who haven't picked up the Quran and read the ahadith, and they'll see those one verse out of context and then apply it to their way of living.
In your pairs, and you need to find sakina, the tranquility, in the opposite gender, say, I'm finding sakina.
I have a girlfriend, or I'm in a relationship, or I live with someone. Well, to that we say,
marriage. Yeah.
Yeah, to that we say quite simply is that, number one, you won't find sakina there. Why? Because you only find tranquility in that which is pleasing to God, right? You will not find tranquility in that which is displeasing to God. Number two is, we're using a very nice term, relationships. Girlfriends. No, this is if you're in a relationship and you have a girlfriend, you're committing zina, right? Let's not mince our words. It's zina, and it is haram, and it is a major sin, and it is not allowed, right? So this is why earlier when we were talking about relationships, and perhaps I jumped the gun, but what I wanted to say was, look, as Muslims, the only relationship we recognize between man and a woman is a marriage. there's nothing else that we recognize. Everything else, I mean, you could argue that moments leading up to marriage when they're engaged, but there is no other type of relationship. Anything else than that is absolutely haram and not allowed. And one might argue, well, why is it haram? Well, then that we say because God said so, and we are Muslims, we submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you want to even talk about some of the problems that arise from haram relationships, there are so many, yeah. Right? There are so many, including, for example, with it's only a lot of these diseases happen because of this type of relationships, including children being born out of wedlock. And one might argue, what's wrong with that? And to that we say, every child has a right. As Muslims, we believe every child has a right before it's born to be born into a stable home, to be born and know its father, to be born and know its lineage. And a lot of times people that sleep around and they have children and they don't even know, that child is born into a world where he's at a disadvantage. He's already, and how many children are at a disadvantage? And that, and because of that, they fall off. They don't have a good education. They fall into crime. All of that because one person just couldn't keep it together, right? Or because we've dissolved the institution of marriage. So I think it's anyone that is, I know I'm speaking a lot often, but anyone that is that looks at this will understand that marriage is better than these relationships. And as Muslims, there is no context. When you're married, Allah rewards you for it and loves you for it and blesses you for it. When you're in a haram relationship, then you're damning yourself in this world and in the next world. So there are, yeah, so it's there's no context there.
Yeah, I agree. Look, you know, the reasons to be married, obviously there's the dunya benefits, but then there's the benefits for akhirah, you know, staying away from the major sins. You know, this is something, you know, I wouldn't want my children to fall into. And I'm sure any Muslim who has that basic understanding of what the major sins are, you wouldn't want yourself to fall into it or your children to fall into it. But society is becoming increasingly godless. And that belief or that that thought about what's going to happen in the hereafter is perhaps, you know, it's missing from many people's lives. And in some cases, some people would prefer their children to have girlfriends and boyfriends instead of being married, and these are Muslim families, and this is what's happening in our society. They would rather them look, just get to know each other, have a girlfriend boyfriend relationship, and you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, then you may get married later on, without thinking about the severity of the sin, the severity of, you know, your child, your, you know, even yourself engaging in that relationship. And it's becoming more of a norm. It's becoming more of a norm.
I think it goes back to what you're saying about submission.
Yeah.
You know, submitting to the Quran and the Sunnah. And when we were talking about this, the hadith that comes to mind was the young man who approached the Prophet ﷺ, who was requesting to commit zina.
Yeah.
And he was asked, would you like this for
your family, your mother and your sister? And he was asked this question and he said no and no. Yeah, and exactly, because that's actually, subhanAllah, one of the ways the Prophet healed this man from this desire, right? And again, what did the Prophet encourage us to do? He said, get married, right? Yeah. So among the benefits of marriage, it is a sunnah of our Prophet. It is an act of worship. It is a commitment. It makes you more responsible. It gets you closer to Allah. You fulfill half of your deen. You protect yourself from desires and haram. You have children that you can raise up, and that could be a source of Jannah for you if you raise them right. And there are so many benefits. I mean, look, if anyone that's engaged in something that makes our Creator happy, then versus the other option, I mean, that should be a no-brainer, really.
You know, Afwan, on you go, Salim.
No, I was going to say, Sheikh made a point about the rights of a child to have a stable home. And, you know, there may be genuine cases where a marriage doesn't work and it's not right for, you know, either the father or the mother to be there with the child. But just because it doesn't work for some people doesn't take away from the fact that Islamically it's a blessed thing, and the fact that it's still the right on the child to have those parents. So rather than saying, I mean, I know many people might look at it and say, well, because marriages hasn't worked out for people around them, we're not going to get married either, or we're going to be single parents and we'll have a child and we don't want to stay in marriage. But then you're taking away that right from the child. you know, that child doesn't know what's going on, but you've made the decision to say, I'll be a single father, I'll be a single mother, and I won't stick with marriage, and I can do it by myself. But you're taking away that right, and that child doesn't have a choice at that point.
Also, the concept of doing it yourself. I mean, this is for all the brothers and sisters out there, that it's, you're not meant to do it yourself. Like, you're not meant to do it yourself.
The society says you can do it yourself, and you know what? Do it yourself.
Yeah, so this is the problem. And like I earlier said, I mean, if something is trendy, people will just jump on it. But you're meant to be in a halal relationship that is conducive to your life, that is helping you. Every woman has a right to a supportive, kind, caring husband. Every man has a right to a caring, supportive wife, right? Yeah. They need each other. And that model is taught to us by Allah in the Quran, right? And this is what you should have. Qadr Allah, sometimes you try and it doesn't work out. But that doesn't mean, because that doesn't mean that then that means that you should never get married again, or that the concept of marriage is wrong. No, these things happen, and it qadr happens, right? We're not promised perfect lives. We're not promised perfect lives, but we are given perfect instructions, right? And it's very important that if someone, so now the question is, do you have to get married? No, you don't have to get married. It's not like the prayer that you must, right? But you're not allowed to believe that marriage is a bad thing, because Allah tells us otherwise. You're not allowed to dissuade others saying don't get married, or jump on this agenda that let's have haram relationships instead. Because look, when we say why do we need marriage, we can just have partnerships, i.e. halal relationships, like haram, sorry, haram relationships. Yeah, so it's,
Look, what you're saying there, look, I think that's a point, one of the reasons why we're sitting here, yeah, is because somebody who's a public figure, yeah, whose voice is heard by millions, yeah, whether they like it or not, has said, why marry? There's no need, really, essentially, there's no need for marriage. Yeah. Now, what you just said there, Sheikh, is if it pleases Allah, something that Allah has blessed, then just because people have had problems, you know, maybe they've had problems, it doesn't take away the fact that it's perfect guidance from Allah, yeah, that's from Allah, that's from our deen. And it's a very important concept that we need to hold dear to. Yeah. And even if the whole world, it can be anything, could be marriage, it could be about us practicing Islam in other ways as well. Yeah. But these things are being taken away from us, or there's an attempt to take it away. And we need to hold fast. The Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, holding on to your deen will be like holding on to a hot coal. Yeah. There will come a time. And this is a situation we're living in, you know, where many important concepts of Islam are being sort of like either challenged, or we're being told, do you really need to follow that? Do you really need to get married? Do you really need to, for example, you know, maybe taking out riba-based loans or mortgages, etc.? You know, do you really need to stick rigidly to your religion? You know, the world's changed. Why not give it up? So, you know, these are things that we should hold dear to.
Do you know what it feels like? Honestly, it feels like we're basing, like, as we're progressing, we're basing our understanding of things based on everything other than what was revealed,
yeah,
upon us. Now, so we're trying to separate the two. Literally, what's happening is we're trying to separate the two, and that everything we're basing on is, because anyone can bring an argument to you and say, oh, you're saying marriage is blessed, marriage is this, but my parents been divorced, my auntie's been divorced, my cousin's been divorced, they weren't happy, then this happened. So all this is based on experiences and what people have gone through, right? And then they take away the fact that your core belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he revealed in the Quran, and the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam.
Yeah.
So to let's differentiate between separate these two, and then now we're leading with whatever with experiences, with our knowledge, with our technical advancements, and you don't know, like, down the line where we will be, you know, because at one point society was a certain way, mm-hmm, you know, and the way they progressed, they were progressing it just basically on their whims and desires. Yeah. Like, what we're doing because we feel this and we think that.
You know, you just said, Like, people might come with their experiences.
Yeah.
And it's very easy when you're close to an experience that is negative for you to think that applies to everybody.
Yes.
But if you take a step back and you really analyze it, that's why we spoke about generalizations at the beginning.
Yes.
Is that for every couple that's been divorced, you can point towards 100 successful ones. And it's taking that step back and saying, okay, look, you've experienced a bad marriage, or you know of somebody that experienced a bad marriage.
Yeah.
But, you know, putting the religious aspect of it aside and just looking at your comparison, is it really the case that marriage as a concept is you know, there's faults in marriage?
Yeah.
You know, is it you know, is it a failed concept? It's not. Because if you look at how many successful marriages there are, if you really, you know, if you're sincere and want to see what the difference is between successful marriages and unsuccessful marriages, I'm sure you'll find many successful marriages.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that people are basing it on that.
I agree. But they need to take that step back.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying that, like, the same argument can be made against bad marriages here. Like you said, there is good marriages here and there's been bad marriages. But what we're doing is we're leading with only this. All these statistics and all these, there was this and there was that, and we're using our own brains to say this, but then we're saying we've put the religion to the side and we've not used it as a reference point to go back to.
Absolutely. But you know what it is? Sometimes we tend to kind of, a lot of people might think that, okay, so because the deen says it, so now I guess I have to do it, or it must be right. No, the deen guides you to that which is better for you. And that can be, it's not, I guess, we know that which, in the Quran, the Quran guides you to that which is better. Let's imagine a sister that went through a divorce and she has, let's say, or two kids, and she's now a single mother. If she claims that, okay, I'm better off staying by myself, like, maybe she feels that way, but the fact of the matter is, people get lonely and then they're pushed to haram relationships. Right? And what happened to even procreation, right? Having children. What about recreation, right? It's a halal means for you to have fun and have a spouse and have relations, right? What happens to all of these benefits of marriage that we can all see? And I mean, I guess we're all married here, and we know that don't let a moment of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and things going bad leave a bad taste in your mouth of something that you know it's good. And it was good at one point. A lot of these people that have a bad taste in their mouth of marriage, they were married at one point and it was good, but it went wrong. Don't let that make you say something that goes against the deen, number one, or go against the whole institution. And this is why I guess we all need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciate that our deen always guides us to that which is better, regardless of how we feel at that moment.
And we'll continue to get tested. We know that throughout our lives. And, you know, for example, a failed marriage can be part of those tests. And it may be that you learn from those tests and you go into another marriage and you've learned from it and you have a better marriage. So, you know, it really is the way that a person deals with that situation in that test that happens. And there's many people, and it can be a financial loss. It can be a loss of a loved one where they may feel like, God's abandoned me, Allah's abandoned me. And then they feel like, you know what, I'd rather just live according to my own rules and regulations and not follow religion. But there's an answer for that, Sheikh, isn't there?
In the end of the day, as Muslims, we don't live our lives the way we want to. We don't base it on the way we think, what we think is right or wrong. We have a guide. We have a guide, and that guide is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the moment you lose that compass and you think right or wrong is something that you know, this is when you go astray. This is when you go astray. So every decision that we make, whether it is, and everything that we believe, it should be rooted back to what we have been told, to revelation, right? And if someone is struggling with that, then there is a bigger problem than just the surface level of, is marriage a good thing or a bad thing? Because do you trust Allah?
Yeah.
Do you trust Allah? And if you trust Allah, Allah tells you what's best for you. And as an ummah, we have been told to have families and to procreate and to get married, and that this is an institution sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and propagated by all of its messengers, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who got married. And this is the sunnah that we should follow. Yeah. And no amount of agendas that are being pushed should make us think that think otherwise.
And you know, and it's thinking about, you know, having, like you said, the compass. You know, if we're going anywhere, you know, you would, everyone wants, would like to know the direction they're going. So imagine not knowing where you're going, you're not having anything lead you.
No, but what's pushed is you do what you feel like doing.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, people don't have, they don't know what they want to do. You know, it's like one time you as a person, you feel different ways at different times, you know. We've talked about relationships and marriage, and we've covered that part. And then we've spoke, obviously, marriage covers both genders, male and female. I want to read to you guys, inshallah, a Wikipedia definition of the word women's empowerment, okay? And then I'll ask you a couple of questions, inshallah. So I'll quickly do this. So it's according to Wikipedia, women's empowerment, or female empowerment, is the process of empowering women. It may be defined in several ways, including accepting women's viewpoints or to make an effort to seek them, raising the status of women through education, awareness, literacy, and training. Women's empowerment equips and allows women to make life-determining decisions through the different problems in society. They may have the opportunity to redefine gender roles, right, or other such roles, which in turn may allow them more freedom to pursue their desired goals. Now, the reason I'm talking about women empowerment, obviously, because we've spoken about marriage, yeah, and about the both genders here, but I want to focus on women because this sister, this is what she said, so she's speaking from the woman's point of view. And right now in society, I feel that's kind of, that was being pushed, you know, being a independent woman. You know, after reading that and kind of being aware of the of what's happening in society with women having being independent, are women empowered in Islam?
Are women empowered in Islam?
Yeah. If you become Muslim, for example, or if you're Muslima, yeah, are you empowered?
There is no greater empowerment than understanding the purpose of life and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and becoming a believer. So absolutely in Islam. And that's for men and women. But for the sake of women that we're talking about, absolutely Islam empowers them. But I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people, when they talk about woman empowerment, they're talking about it from a dunya perspective as well, right? Yes. They are. And look, the way we see the world as Muslims, it isn't judged by era or what's happening. We have a worldview that is constant. So we have the worldview that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 1,400 years ago, right? And it is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over time, the world, a lot of things have happened, right? And there were many injustices that were done against women. There were. That Islam would never sanction and is against. So does Islam empower women to get their rights? Yes, 100%. Does Islam empower women economically? I don't think there's a religion that empowers women more economically more than Islam. For example, in a marriage, the husband is expected to provide for the family, and the woman, no matter how much she earns, that responsibility isn't on her. Literally, if she has millions and decided she's going to keep it for herself, invested by property, all of that belongs to her, and there's no expectation on her to provide, that is the husband's responsibility. So, and a husband, of course, in any healthy relationships, I mean, they will be helping each other, right? But it shows you that they have been empowered economically with regards, even with this inheritance, when many places in the world, especially even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were not allowed to inherit when it comes to owning property, when it comes to having the ability to do with their money and their decision is what they like.
And to choose who they want to marry.
And to choose who they want to marry, absolutely, of course. That's a very important point as well. So they've been empowered, but that is a loaded word. And today when people say woman empowerment, you got to be very careful what they mean. What do you mean? Because if someone says, I believe in the empowerment of women, and then they tell, well, that includes, for example, them engaging in the adult business, right? Mm-hmm. And opening these accounts where they would say, no, that's not empowerment. Mm-hmm. That's not empowerment. That's not liberation. We think that's objectification, right? So our moral compass of empowerment, we say, yes, woman, Islam empowers women, empowers men. It empowers everyone that follows this path. It's a path of guidance, and everything, all of your rights have been dictated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's name is Al-Adl, the most just, right? So we're not worried that if anyone applies Islam, acts upon Allah's commandments, we're not worried that that person is going to transgress on others, because it is that which limits you. Anyone that is committing injustice, they're not following Islam. Anyone whose rights are being taken away, they have not been taken away because of Islam. So I think it's very important that we distinguish. And as Muslims, we don't need no Wikipedia or someone else to dictate for us what empowerment means, or what we should do for sisters, or what we should do for brothers, or what men should do, or what women should do. We have the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us.
That's true. Sheikh, I agree with that. Do you think the reason why more Muslim women are looking towards the definitions provided outside of Islam is because as men, we haven't fulfilled our duties correctly, or in the Muslim community, we've let ourselves down in terms of how we conduct ourselves in marriages. And because of that, you have these new definitions coming out that seem more appealing to Muslim women, because it gives them something that was supposed to be given to them by Islam, but the men didn't practice Islam correctly.
I would say absolutely. Anyone that focuses on Muslims to understand Islam will come out with a wrong view of Islam. Islam is perfect. The religion of Allah is perfect. Muslims are not. They have shortcomings. They make mistakes. They sometimes are unjust. And they are also great Muslims, right? And men shouldn't judge Islam because of what they see from women, and women shouldn't judge Islam because of what they see from men. And I think that's one of the problems. First of all, this antagonistic relationship of we're pitted against each other, like, this is not the case. I mean, we should be for each other and helping each other and complementing each other as men and women. I mean, we share this planet and this world together, and we cannot live without each other. So it shouldn't be an antagonistic relationship to begin with. But yes, many men have failed in their responsibilities, and that might put many sisters off. But I will also wager the vice versa as well. We have to be fair. I mean, many women folk have not been pulling their weight and acting upon Islam the way they should, and that has made many men reconsider. And part of the problem of now people saying, I don't want to get married, I don't want to get the relationship, is because we haven't made it appealing enough. You few times you mentioned that there is divorce is quite common. Part of why it's quite common is because the two parties aren't fulfilling each other's rights or taking the responsibilities they have to. And I think if more of that happened, in other words, to make it really simple, if there was more Islam, then there would be less problems. And people would have a better view on marriage, on each other, on men, on women, on empowerment, all of that. So I think that the lack of acting upon Islam is always going to lead to these problems.
So Muslim married women, they don't need quote-unquote empowering and liberating according to Islam, not according to Muslims.
Could you repeat that?
So Muslim women that are married, right? Like when you said, because we're separated. Islam is perfect. The Muslims
are not. Yes.
So we're not talking about the Muslims as of yet.
Yeah.
We're talking about Islam.
Yes.
The religion. Muslim women that are married, do they need empowering and liberating?
Do they need empowerment and liberating? I mean, everything that you need. No. I mean, they are liberated by default. Mm-hmm. They are anyone that is a believer, that is a Muslim, that submits to Allah, is by default liberated, and they are empowered. Now, if any injustices happen, if any there is any shortcomings, if their rights are taken away, then they might require, then we need to empower them and we need to liberate them and we need to give them their huquq back
by Islam
from an Islamic perspective and framework. But and this is, I think this is the main issue. We need to solve our problems through Islam.
Yeah.
And so do women need to be liberated? We all need to be liberated from our desires. We need to be liberated from our shortcomings. We need to be liberated from our sins, doubts, our social problems, the skyrocketing divorce rates, people not wanting to get married, all of these obscured views, these agendas. We need to be liberated from all of that, and we will do that by one thing, by following Islam correctly.
MashaAllah. And you know, the reason I chose this question, during her Nobel Prize speech, the sister mentioned a story about a friend of hers who was, had a lot of potential in terms of education. And what happened to her at the age of 12, I believe, she got forced to marry someone. She got forced to marry someone and she had a child. Now, so she said, she says that she could have been a great doctor. I know she could have been a great doctor if she wasn't forced to get married and she didn't have a child. Which is why I'm saying about this woman empowering and liberating. Mm. Because now, when you look at that, from what we're saying here today, it's got nothing to do with Islam, what happened. Yeah, it's Muslims, right? Which brings me to my next question. Because we talked about this, it seems like Muslims have put in their part of it, which is culture.
Yeah.
Right, culture has entered Islam, right? So, religion and culture. Do we differentiate between culture and religion? Or do we even have to differentiate between this is cultural and this is religion? Because she a lot is mentioned about her being Pakistani and from a part of Pakistan where, you know, a certain people from Pakistan and whatever culture it may be practiced over there, you know, and then people will say, look, this is Islam, you know, this is Islam, regardless of them being from, you know, Pathan or being from Pakistan or India or whatever, this is Islam. Do we differentiate between the cultures?
We have to. I mean, if you think about it, the religion comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are, I don't know, 101 cultures out there, right? And cultures, they have right and wrong in them. You can disagree with a certain culture, a certain practice. You can say you can criticize it. It is possible that a certain culture is unjust. Example would be forced marriages. It's a cultural thing, it's not Islamic.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you know what just came to mind? Does it feel that any culture that has not linked with Islam is something that is good to get to know about that culture? But any culture that's linked to Islam has deficiency and can seem barbaric.
I don't think there's many non-Islam cultures.
I think all cultures have issues.
Deficiencies. No, not in that way. I mean, what I mean to say is basically is, Any culture that's got Islamic practices in it, that culture is deemed as, they have stuff. But let's take an example, Hawaiian culture. Mm. You know, they've got the flame throwing and whatever have you. And then another culture, their cuisine is this, and another culture is known for this. But anytime a culture has got some Islamic aspect to it, like they're known for forced marriages because of their religion.
There's more of a focus on it, isn't there?
Yeah, they're known for, being oppressive to their women because of Islam.
Yeah, and like you said, you may find some tribes in the jungles in South America where they have a very sort of like a firm approach on the roles of men and women, but it's never emphasized as much as Islamic communities.
I see that point. Yeah, and you know what it is? It's these cultures. We already mentioned cultures can be good, it can be bad. This is why even there is a principle in Islam which says that al-adatu muhakkama. It means that how does Islam deal with cultures? because Islam transcends all of this, right? So when Islam was first introduced in Mecca, and by that I mean Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's risala, because Islam predates the Prophet Muhammad. I mean, all of the prophets were Muslim from Adam. What was the dominant culture? It was Qurayshi, Meccan, Arab culture, wasn't it? And then you go and Islam spreads, and then you come into contact with Sham and its culture. And then you go and it comes into contact with Africa and its culture. And then you go and it comes into contact with the subcontinent. And these are all different cultures. So how does Islam deal with these cultures? It corrects the errors, and anything that is good, it leaves it. Right? So Islam is above this. Don't drag down the religion of Allah to the level of what we humans agreed upon. Right? And this is something that I see, that the conflation is very problematic. Right? You might find a culture that you, like I said, and so what is the qa'ida al-adam? It means that whenever Islam hasn't clarified something, you go back to the dominant culture and see what it says about it, for example. And if it disagrees with the deen, then we put it to aside. It corrects it. And if it doesn't go against Islam, if it doesn't go against justice and mercy and all these principles that we have, if it doesn't go against it, then it's left alone, because these cultures must be respected, right? So the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transcends, and if it's mixed with a culture, it's because that culture adopted Islam, and maybe through their errors, they might have had certain cultures that they should have let go of if they truly understood Islam, but they didn't, and now someone walks in and they just... throw out the baby with the bathwater, right?
Can I correct myself? Well, no, I just wanted to add to what I said before. Yeah. So I mentioned the comparison of, you know, a society or culture living in a jungle. It's probably, you know, not the best comparison to make. If you look at the culture in the West, if you look at our, you know, living in the UK or living in America, there's a culture of alcoholism, you know, drinking alcohol. You know, you work all week, Friday night comes, Saturday night comes, you get drunk, you enjoy yourself. What does that lead to? It leads to domestic violence, leads to antisocial behavior, leads to medical problems, driving accidents, financial problems. So even in those civilized cultures that we have, if you compare them against Islam and the problems we may have in communities that practice Islam but have deficiencies, there are also deficiencies in those cultures too, in the Western cultures. You look at how women are treated and objectified and sexualized, in the UK itself. You know, on our doorstep, you'll go down the road, you'll find billboards to sell a chocolate bar. There'll be a lady, with her clothes off. And she's convinced that she's free. That she's free. She's been liberated enough to be able to show her body and to earn money and to be independent. But the people making the money behind it understand how they're using that woman, and they understand that she's a slave to that system, the system of objectifying women. So in fact, you know, it's very easy to pick out the deficiencies of cultures that do not have Islam in them. But like Sheikh, your point was beautiful, that, you know, Islam will beautify everything it touches.
And when you find deficiencies in cultures that are Muslim, then don't blame Islam. It's the problems are probably with the culture or with the people, and Islam is always going to be perfect and always was perfect. And
could the West say that? So, for example, you know how I just talked about alcohol abuse, etc. Could they say, don't blame our culture, blame the ones who aren't behaving correctly? So they like, let's say, for example, the British government may say, you're not allowed to drink and drive, you're not allowed to speed over a certain limit. So they've got their rules and regulations in place. But that doesn't mean that their culture is bad. It just means the people who are adhering to it.
Well, to that you say that, first of all, we're not in the business of comparing cultures. But anything that you put next to Islam will fail horribly. And an example of that be, even, look, today... experts agree that alcohol is bad for everyone that consumes it. It's bad for you. It's unhealthy. It's a social problem. It's a health problem, right? Yet, smoking is another one, right? They literally says when you buy it, smoking kills, right?
With
pictures on it, right? And there have been these campaigns that to stop them. I love to always make the comparison of the prohibition era. I believe it was in the 1930s in America. They tried to prohibit what? the usage of alcohol.
Yeah.
But then it didn't work. People pushed back. They started brewing alcohol in their basements, and they rebelled, and it was a huge, and then they just have to let the people go, right? But compare that to Medina and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ayah, the Quran, the verse is revealed prohibiting alcohol. Again, I'm sure it was something they liked, and it was part of their culture. But what made them pour everything out and completely get rid of alcohol to the point where the companions, they say the streets were flowing with alcohol. People that were selling it and were making money out of it, they threw it away immediately. Because with Islam, it solves the problem of morality and it solves the social problem at the same time. How many Muslims do you know that have never drank a drop of alcohol? There are so many, right? Whose livers are healthy, who will never be accused of drunk driving, who will never go home drunk and beat their children and their family members and their wives. And all of these problems got because we accept Allah and Islam and we act upon it. So if you, no culture, I would say it's fair to say no culture is superior to another culture because that's all man-made and human beings and whatever.
Yeah.
But Islam is clearly superior to all, and it is a way of life that if it was adopted, so many problems would be solved, including the marriage one that we were discussing today.
So to kind of like come to a conclusion with everything that we spoke about, you know, we need to say, you know, mashallah, yani, this was taken from the statement of this person, you know, the sister, you know, and the reason we spoke about it is because she's very, very well known, you know, and in some areas, inshallah, and but the platform that was given to her by British Vogue, you know, and who she represented, I think was kind of why we wanted to speak about this statement. And you can see the thing in itself, like the statements, there's a lot can be discussed, like we did today.
Yeah.
You know, from we're speaking about marriage, we're talking about, you know, what's culture and what's to look at Islam and not the Muslims. So a lot can be covered. Can you summarize, or can you conclude with a message to take away from this podcast and this discussion that we had today, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah. I would say that as Muslims, the way we view the world, the way we understand right and wrong, the way we even discuss these issues, it should always be through the lens of Allah and His Messenger. Now, this is something that I genuinely believe. It's something that people will say, yeah, I believe in Allah and His Messenger, but it's something that's missing, because that is your moral compass. That's where you understand right from wrong. And anything that is then put in front of you, right? Today we discussed, is marriage an outdated concept or whatever? We were discussing this, right? If that's put in front of you, you would say, wait a minute, what does Allah say about this? What does the Prophet say about this? What does Islam say about this? Because this is what it means to be a Muslim, right? And so that's number one. Now the question might be, why? Why do we use that viewpoint? Why do we view the world and all this through the lens of Islam? Because that is the only way you can come to the right conclusions and to the right answers. And we've lived those experiences and we know it's the haqq. If you doubt it's the haqq, then you're doubting Islam. And if you believe it's the haqq, then use that as your moral compass. And when you do that, everything will fall into place. Someone asks you about anything and you'll say, well, my view is the view of Allah and His Messenger, right? So what's your view of marriage? The view of Allah's Messenger. What's your view on woman? The view of Allah's Messenger. What's your view on men? The view of Allah and His Messenger. This is what it means to be a Muslim, and this is extremely important, I believe. And how can we do that? We need to educate ourselves about Islam. The Islamic marriage, I want to make this point because it was about marriage, right? Islamic marriage protects the man, it protects the woman, it protects the child, and it gives you, it solves all of the problems. And sometimes some people might be looking into marriage and thinking it's a bad idea, but they're not thinking about the Islamic nikah, its rights, its responsibilities. They're not thinking about it. They're thinking about just conventional marriage and thinking maybe it's a bad idea. Or they're thinking about haram relationships or whatever the case is. So it's only through coming back to the deen that we will find the answers we need, that we live a fruitful life, and that we can actually tackle these problems. And as long as we're away from it, we will be confused, we won't have the answers, and we will fall into a lot of errors.
I'm going to add something to that.
SubhanAllah. You can't add anything more to that. That's, you know, brilliant advice. All I can say from the work I do in youth work, the welfare work, you know, just, you know, based on those experiences, the problems that come to us can all be solved through Islam, just like Sheikh mentioned. And the problems that continue to happen are a result of people falling away from Islam. And also people, look, you know, iman goes up and down. You know, us sitting here, you know, people might see us behind the camera thinking, oh, these guys are practicing Muslims, they're better than us. We're all sinners. We're all people who need to keep on renewing our faith and keep on needing to make effort. But one thing that's consistent is that we understand what is right and what is wrong. We understand, regardless of whether we commit that sin, we know it's a sin. And we know what Allah has destined or has established for us in the deen, and what the Prophet, peace be upon his teachings, have guided us. That is the true way. Now, whether we follow that or not, that doesn't take away from the fact that it is the correct way, and it is the way of life that's going to solve the problems that we see in our society. So we need, the message I would want to give out to people is, you know, even if you're struggling to practice your faith, or you feel you're weak, or you're not where you'd want to be, don't be deluded, or don't be convinced by some of the messages that are put out in the media, in social media, by influencers or popular celebrities. If they're saying something that's not consistent with Islam, don't be impressed by it, because those things are not the solution. The solution is from the Quran and the Sunnah. And many people have said, well, look, we've had problems in the past. We've gone to mosques, we've gone to our imams. They weren't able to help us and they were a waste of time. And what we're trying to do at this masjid, at Green Lane Masjid, is to emulate the prophetic masjid. So be there to serve the community. And when there's problems with domestic violence in marriages, we've got a domestic violence support worker here because we've recognized it's a problem. Where there's problems with financial situations, people falling into debt, they may have done something haram, taken out a credit card, etc., and then fallen into riba, we try to help them. We try to give them advice. We have a zakat service to help people who are struggling financially so they don't fall into the wrong ways. And, you know, we encourage all other masajid to follow that example as well, because it's not our example, it's the prophetic example. So what is right is what is right. You know, the Quran and the Sunnah is the way. If we are failing in that regard in practicing, we ask Allah for strength. We have to ask Allah for strength, and we turn to the people of knowledge who can help us. And alhamdulillah, Green Lane Masjid, we've got English-speaking imams, we've got imams who understand the reality of the people and the community we serve. And with this issue with marriage, especially as well, you know, we're there to help the community as well. So if men are struggling to understand, you know, what they're doing wrong, and maybe they need to become better husbands, that's what the purpose of, podcasts like this are for, and the talks that we do, the khutbas that we deliver. And similarly with women, if they're struggling to understand how to fulfill their duties and to have a happier marriage, you know, come and seek knowledge, inshallah.
Yeah, mashallah. I mean, definitely. I mean, I've took away a lot. You know, I think the main thing I've really kind of took away is about when it comes to a person speaking, you know, or any message that they're giving, we should always go back to what you're saying, Sheikh, about going back to what does Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say about this.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of the point, maybe because of this, because of her, the sister, being a Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, and being up there in the limelight, and her statements being heard across the globe. You know, it comes to a point where, okay, she said this, what do we have to say about this? We say about the statement, and maybe, for example, people shouldn't always, who have a platform and they're Muslim, shouldn't be used as a religious reference all the time, you know? And that, inshallah, we'll leave it at that. I've really enjoyed your company. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah khair.
And it's been a long one, inshallah. This concludes the podcast, inshallah. If you enjoyed it and if you benefited it benefited from the podcast, make sure to like, subscribe, and to click the bell to get a notification for when we have more kind of videos such as this, and also to visit the website, inshallah ta'ala, about what Brother Salim was saying about the services that are offered from the masjid, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam.